Hey everybody, thanks for listening. Just so you know, I put out a product of my own called Charlie. It's a silhouette prediction. It's up on my website, nickpaul.net, if anybody wants to check it out. It's only 12 bucks, instant download. And thanks to everybody who's been a Patreon member. If you want to give a buck or two a month, it's just patreon.com/2magicians1mic. And in the near future, Simon and I are going to try to do our live interactive improv magic show called Magic Showdown on YouTube Live. It will be under his YouTube channel. Just search Things by Simon or Simon Cornell on YouTube and subscribe, and you'll get notified of when we go live. We don't know the exact dates yet, but it will be soon. Enjoy this episode with the hilarious and amazing Matt Marcy.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Magicians, One Mic. My name is Nick Paul, that's Simon Cornell, and today we have Matt Marcy. Hi Matt Marcy.
Hey, hi Nick Paul. It's lovely to hear and see you.
Yeah, is everything okay? I know you had some, like, I got an interesting email from my cruise ship agent today. Is everything okay on the cruise ship end for you? I mean, you don't have to talk about what you don't want to, because it's just, we keep getting, Simon and I have the same agent, and every week it's just like, it's getting worse.
Yeah, by okay, do you mean that none of us are working still? If that's what you mean, then yes, everything is still okay.
Oh, good. Okay.
It was a chance. Basically, it was a seminar for the agent to talk to all the acts about what's going on, but and ask people could ask questions. But the answer to every question was the same, which is nobody knows the answer to this question yet. And whatever the answer is today will be different tomorrow. And it kind of became why are we doing this? I mean, it was nice to see everyone. It's supportive and it's great, but sure. There's just nobody knows anything yet. It's too crazy and too ever changing still. So.
Now, also first, I think it's worth clarifying for the probably majority of our listeners who have no freaking idea who you are. This is Matt Marcy.
Yeah,
Matt Marcy,
very
capable comedy magician based in LA, Castle guy, all that stuff. I'm a big fan of his work. He does good shit.
We're both big fans. I'm sorry it's taken so long to get you on the podcast. I apologize.
Fine. I think capable comedy magician is going to be my business card. Yeah.
I always think it's important to assume no prior knowledge of a viewer about magic or the person or anything. I think
that's fair. I assumed you didn't have listeners too, so I guess we're in the same boat.
We do now. That's great.
Hey, ever since we had Teller on, we have like three more listeners, so it's pretty exciting.
I appreciate you waiting to have me on until you had an audience.
We were waiting.
You're following Teller. You are the next.
Well, I always book opening acts that I respect, so that's good.
never have a good. It's always tough to follow that, but
Matt, you are in. I can give you a very sort of curiously specific compliment, which is you're one of a relatively small number of magicians who. There are plenty of people I like and like their work who I don't necessarily want to watch again. E.g., people who do a great act, but I've seen that act before. And it's fine.
Me,
yeah, Nick's great, but it's like, oh yeah, he's doing the balloon again. Yeah, what a surprise! That's cool. You're in that small set of people. If you're doing stuff, I'm always interested in watching whatever it is you're doing.
Because
your familiar material is very rewatchable, and you're often trying interesting, new, funny, clever stuff. So there you go.
Thank you. That's really nice. That's really nice to say. I can't watch me anymore, but it's nice.
Don't worry. None of us can watch ourselves.
Well, we literally can't watch anybody right now. So unless you're putting up YouTube clips, really, which today
like
you put up a really
funny. Yeah. That's all I'm seeing is everybody doing everything they can think of.
You did a very funny one today with a bandana that I won't reveal.
Oh yeah. I don't want to tip the work on that. It's,
Oh, but if people want to watch, I now want to watch it. It just youtube.com/ what's your channel?
It's not on YouTube. It was Instagram and Facebook.
Gotcha.
On YouTube as well. So Instagram is the Matt Marcy is my handle on Instagram.
The Matt Marcy. Cool. I'll check it out. I look forward to it. So Matt, you are, again, in my mind, you are a person who's constantly coming up with clever, interesting, original stuff. Is that something you value intrinsically for yourself, or you think there's a commercial reason for that? A bit of both? What's your view?
I think that I used to do it for myself, and as I get older and more jaded, I do it more for commercial reasons when I need to. I feel like, which means I do it less, because commercially you don't need as much new material once you're really working all the time. So you know, like if I think, oh, I need something new in the show, I want to try to come up with something interesting and fun to do. But I have less time than I used to just tinker around for fun myself. I wish I did. Now I do. Now that we have this virus, kind of, I'm actually working on other stuff again. But normally, you know, when I'm traveling a bunch, like you guys, I spend less time just doing stuff for shits and giggles and more time doing things that I think would benefit the show that I'm doing.
Yeah, it makes sense. Do you have an actual process you use for coming up with new stuff, or is it just you freeball ideas and see what strikes you?
A lot of freeballing in my life, a lot of freeballing. Yeah.
And also with ideas. Yeah.
And also with ideas as well. Yeah, I think that I've never met a magician who has a specific process that they use consistently. Maybe they do. I feel like I'm struck out of the blue with some idea. Maybe it's for a trick. Maybe it's for a joke, a routine, a mood I want to set, and it kind of builds from there.
That's interesting. Can you give an example of like a time where a mood has driven something for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm working on one right now, a new piece right now that I'm struggling with, but hopefully we'll figure out, which is I wanted another kind of a sentimental piece in the show, but not super cheesy sentimental, like sentimental that it felt genuine to me. And so I started thinking about that, came up with an idea that involved talking about the difficulties of I have a 3-year-old at home, which has made traveling a lot more difficult to be away from her, and kind of using that as a way in to approach a trick with that mood. And then I came up with an idea for routine and stuff, and I'm trying to figure out the mechanics of the actual trick itself. But I hope when it's done, it will actually be a nice balance to the rest of my show.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, you know.
How do you balance that travel? Because it's something I've really been struggling with, and I don't have a little one. So I can imagine it's 100 times harder with a little one.
It is. Literally, it got to be 100 times harder when I had a kid. It's hard. I mean, you know, I travel a little less than I used to. I'm willing to say no to more stuff than I used to. I miss the days in a way where I would take this seems like fun. I'll make $200 and go away for a week, but why not? I'll get to hang out with some cool people. And I can't do that anymore. I can't justify leaving for a week if it's not going to actually, you know, be a financially viable thing.
If it's not going to pay for college.
So yeah, there's college coming up, right? For college and COVID, too expensive. Never planned on. So it is a lot harder. And one of the things I was talking, you know, to the ship agent about was, you know, they may want people to stay for longer because
we were talking about that today. We just got that email. I'm like, it was like 2 weeks minimum sometimes. I'm like, I can't do that, man.
Now again, look, that's going to change again, of course, too.
Sure.
You know, like everything. But when that was the thing, you know, like, oh, well, they're going to want people to stay longer because they don't want you moving between ships and they don't want to worry about people. So, well, I'm not getting on a ship for a month, you know, or 5 weeks or nine. I never did forever ship, but the longest run I did, I think, was I did a 9-week run on a ship once.
Oh, wow.
Once I had a kid, and I was ready to, you know, I mean, I was married, didn't have a kid, and it was just way too much for me. Mm-hmm. For me, beloved, but I want to be back home with the family, you know. So
yeah, and the people who love it are just very emotionally unhealthy people. That's fine.
I feel like a lot of it is, it's going to be an interesting time when we come back, because all of us are in the same boat of, okay, we need work, but it's really going to be interesting to see the people that say yes to these contracts that are like, okay, we're going to give you a 3-month contract now, you can't leave, and who's going to jump on board with that?
Well, there are people that will, you know, and there are magicians that will take any job anywhere, anytime, and I don't begrudge them that. And they can. Maybe they have a lifestyle that fits that, or they need to, for whatever their reasons are, and that's fine. I do worry that. I feel like when this is all over, there's going to be fewer magicians. There's going to be people that, you know, are going to be weeded out by this, just like any other kind of great crunch for a while. Depending on how long this goes on. But if this really goes on for another year or more until there's a vaccine in some way where people aren't really going to shows, and then the theaters are going to go under that were there because they couldn't survive it, and there's just going to be less work. And kind of after 9/11, maybe it was a similar time. And we'll probably lose a bunch of people who don't hang in there, unfortunately. But it's such a crazy thing to balance, you know?
Yeah, it's funny with so many businesses like that, the culling of the restaurants, the theaters, the entertainers, again, any business that's not easily functioning right now, which is many of them. It's going to be very interesting to see which ones survive and what it'll be based on.
Well, the other thing I worry about, and I don't hear other people talking about this too much, but is I have a concern in a way that some of these shows, these theaters or ships or something, are going to want to open up as soon as possible because they want to get back to business. And maybe sooner than I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Mm, that's an interesting
what is going to happen when a theater says, well, we have you on, because I got contracts all the way through into next year now. You know, they're getting kind of dropped month by month, but at some point they're going to stop and somebody's going to say, go do your contract. And I don't know where the world's going to be at that point, but I do have a concern that if I feel like that's not safe, how am I going to deal with that? That's going to be an awkward decision to make also. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I kind of just went through that with House of Cards. They were holding me on, and they're great people over there. And, you know, I was the one that had to say, listen, guys, I'm not coming. Yeah. And they were fine. They rebooked me. It was fine. But I can imagine it when it's not going to be that easy for other cases. Right. It's going to be a tough choice to make.
Right. And on this call with my ship agent, that didn't come up. Nobody said, what if I don't want to work because it feels unsafe, even if the ship wants me to? Mm-hmm. Because of course we all want to work. So it's a touchy thing to talk about, but you know, I mean, I know there's a ship I'm supposed to be going to later in the summer that had COVID cases on it, or currently does among the crew. I don't know where we'll be then, but certainly some part of me is like, do I want to risk getting quarantined, risk getting sick, risk getting sick and bringing home to my family, you know, all those things that we all have to be concerned about still, so, day by day, you know.
And then what's your plan of attack in the meantime? Are you just like holding up, eating into the savings to stay alive like most of us? Are you trying to pivot at all?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I am actually doing some stuff. I had a giant event I was supposed to be doing in about 2 weeks. I was doing a show and then also hosting this giant fundraiser kind of thing. They decided they want to do a virtual event. So I'm actually going to host this virtual event for them and do some magic. I mean, obviously not the same material, but figure out what to do and do maybe 20 minutes of magic and then host their auction or whatever they're going to do. I just got an email this morning from someone else, another client, who said, hey, are you doing virtual magic shows? I've heard people saying this. I didn't believe it, but there are some people looking for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's things here and there I can do, and I have to obviously adapt the material for that. I have some shows that got canceled that are getting rebooked later, so I'm just kind of working with those people to try and figure that out, and other acts I've booked for some of those bigger shows that I'm working with. And then, you know, trying to do creative things like that video. I've done a handful of those videos. I've been digitizing old footage, putting some of that up for fun to see stuff I used to do 100 years ago.
That spa production you did in the parlor, I don't know, have you seen this, Simon? It's amazing.
This is up now. I've heard about this for years.
It's so cool.
The quarantine will make me put a lot of things up, Simon.
Oh shit.
So the better question is, why doesn't Simon follow me on Instagram?
No, here's the thing. Simon doesn't scroll. I put up stuff on the I tag him in promotions for the podcast. He doesn't see it. He's never even seen the episodes on Apple Podcasts, so don't feel bad.
So that Simon can't see it by the time he goes there. You missed it.
But this is up on your Instagram and in Facebook.
Yeah, I'm just putting weird stuff up. I did another quick little social distancing trick last week, just to do stuff, you know. And then, you know, I mean, I have a 3-year-old, so that's a full-time job when she can't go to school or play dates or parks or anything else. It turns out that a lot of my time is spent building with Legos and coloring and,
which is,
you know,
wonderful.
Watching Disney movies and stuff. And it's wonderful, but it turns out it's hard to get things done. Like, I have stuff I want to do and I have all this time and yet very little time between, you know, her and
there stuff. Is like a productivity like I'm doing a lot of video editing right now, and so there is a productivity thing. So like, even like if my dogs walk in and I need to attend to that, I am now, the brain set of getting work done has now been derailed. And I can imagine with a 3-year-old, it's even, you know, way, way harder.
It's impossible. I mean, she's napping now, which is a good time to be doing this. So I get a nap in the middle of the day. But normally during this time, I'm exercising just to get some action going there. And, you know, it's a lot of people I hear saying, oh, you got to be taking this time to just be constantly creative and build new stuff and everything. And that's great. But I think it's also fine to say, you know, things are insane. We don't know where they're going. Fine to just, you know, do what you got to do.
I don't think, yeah, you should put pressure on yourself to get stuff. Like for me, I've been doing the Shed Show with Taylor, and I've been doing, like, Simon and I are trying to figure out a way to do Magic Smackdown or Magic Showdown live. And it's just, and then I'm editing these web series. So it's just like, okay, doing stuff as it comes along and not forcing yourself to be creative is, I think, hopefully a healthier approach, as opposed to, oh God, all these things I've wanted to get done, I can now do, but I don't think the outcome's going to be as good because it's going to be rushed and forced.
Sure. And I also see a lot of people rushing to move to the virtual world. The future of magic is online. We're going to do a virtual show. And I mean, man, I just don't see that being really the future.
I love how many magicians, I think I'm at like five or six, I've counted, of how many people like 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago have publicly said, this is ridiculous, I can't believe it. And those same people are now doing, you know, virtual magic shows, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, people will always, there is always a tendency to overreact with a sweeping statement that like, oh, this is the way things are now. And it's never that simple. Right. It's always more nuanced than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, well, and eventually this will be a thing of the past. Eventually, I don't know how long it'll take, but there will be a vaccine and this will go away and things will rebuild from wherever they get to as they collapse, you know, and theaters will reopen or new theaters will open and new, and things will move back kind of like after 9/11.
I think it's going to take longer than 9/11 if I'm really thinking about it. But, you know, we were able to come back from that. We were able to come back from the housing crisis. You know, it's like, I feel like this is just another version of the housing crisis that is probably worse because I think it's affecting more people. But it'll bounce back and it's just going to take a bit.
Well, you know? And like the other thing is this, there is this weird, the socially distancing thing makes it really weird, right? Like even during the Great Depression, you could still have game night, you know, you could see people.
And we could all be hungry together.
Exactly. You could eat the slowest person.
Apparently, the Great Depression was one of the times where cardboard jigsaw puzzles really took off.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. And I think people were still spending money on food when they had it and live entertainment. So like, those are the two things. But now that we can't all be together, it is a very different beast.
At least we've got technology. I mean, doing this, if we didn't have this kind of thing, would be.
Can you imagine doing this right now on a phone call? It would sound terrible.
A what? I don't know what that is. My iPhone doesn't make phone calls anymore. Doesn't function as a phone.
Yeah. But yeah, we're in a unprecedented time. I mean, shifting gears a little bit to something less depressing. You had a web series about being a magician, and would you like to talk a little bit about that? And where can people see it?
Well, thanks for asking, Nick Paul. That's been a long time. But
you sent me a note that said, talk about the web series.
Did I send that to you? I don't think I did. Did I send
that? I'm just kidding.
Would you promote something I did 25 years ago?
Sure. I mean, we're talking about that spa trick. So
that's true. The spa trick, you know, I've tried to decide, is it better as just sort of a story or should people actually see it? But it's worth seeing. Go watch it.
Oh, totally.
I'm excited. I've been asking about that for years on and off.
I've watched it on a loop in a row, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now.
What's funny, I remember way back that one of the reasons I was curious about the spa trick, I heard it as the hot tub production. I mean, in that, it reminded me of a thing that I did a thing back in FISM 2009, Magic World Championships, for the non-magician listeners. Where basically I made a person appear on a close-up mat at a close-up table. So it was like a production of a human being in a close-up trick. And people talked about it but that was inspired by Houdini's Vanishing of the Elephant, a la Steinmeier's book, in that it was a trick that was very much designed to be better as a story to be heard about than a trick to be watched.
Right.
And your hot tub always sounded, had vibes of that to me in the stories I'd heard. And you sort of said as much, but now I'm excited to actually see it.
Well, no, you get to watch it.
Before I found that footage and put it up there, and I actually did it for a few years there, and that's the first, this clip is from the first week I did it there. It got better after that, but I had forgotten kind of what it looked like. I hadn't seen it myself in a decade or more, so it was interesting to watch it again with fresh eyes, kind of.
I feel like, I was thinking about that today, I feel like we're going... I'm so glad I keep a hard drive of just shows, and most of them not great, but I'm so glad that when I'm actually able to go do a live show again, I'll have it as reference to go, okay, what did I do there? Or what little nuance worked? Or what did I say? Because I have stuff scripted, but it's different when you, and like, you know, doing cruise ships, you're doing so many different shows that something just kind of happens and then it goes in the show. and then it fades away for whatever reason, you can go back and reference it and go, oh yeah, we used to do that.
Yeah. Well, and part of it is just when you do a lot of shows, like I last year for the first year in 2019, I counted the shows I did, and by shows, I mean number of audiences that I did a show for, in a club, maybe it was a couple of nights or whatever, but I had 207 shows last year.
Yeah.
When you're doing 207 shows in a year, you are on top of your game. You're constantly working. You know what's happening. You take 2 months off or 3 months off, like we're all doing now, or 4 or 5 or 6 months off. I can only imagine what I'm going to forget that I do without being on top of it like that, you know? So
it's, I was listening to a podcast literally the week before this all happened. And I forget which comedian it was. But she said she had not gone more than like a couple of days without doing a set. So I can't, like, magicians do a lot of shows, but comedians just live off that stuff. So right. I can only imagine what they're going through right now and how they're going to think they're rustier than they actually are when this comes back.
You know, another thing I thought about, just to change the subject again, then we get back to the to disillusion. But when I was talking to the ship agent, one of the questions came up was, will we be allowed to use audience participation with the COVID thing, which is an interesting question, because without that, a lot of us have no show. I mean, that's a big chunk of my show is some kind of audience participation where you are interacting with somebody. I thought, how nice to be a stand-up comedian where you don't have to touch anybody or get close to them. But that is an interesting thing to think about. And, you know, how much do you lose and how much time can you fill without, you know, I mean, forget even bringing someone on stage. Can you have somebody pick a card?
Sure.
Touch it, theoretically, you know?
Simon and I have talked about this a lot, and I think we both have been, from doing ships, trying to transition our show into being in one as much as possible. And I've kind of gotten that way with my two ship shows. I think I bring one person up in each show as needed, which is, I feel like, took a lot of work and like retweaking of stuff. But ultimately it worked. And that excuse was just because everybody's really old and it takes forever to get them up on stage. So
okay, man, I got to do that too, because I bring
it's easier than you realize. Like for me, the pick a card's tough, but a lot of it can just be called out. A lot of it can be using projection. I mean, there are ways around it, but I have been inspired by comedians to just go, oh, that's really nice. You can just walk out on stage and you don't need to rely on somebody for the trick to work.
Yeah, it is nice, but I mean, a lot of the material that's regular, things like a thumb tie. You're not doing that without somebody up there literally touching your hands.
Yeah, right? There are so many pieces that the brilliance of them is in the the trick is about the interaction. Right. The magic trick is, I always think of it like, the magic trick is the speck of grit that the oyster builds the pearl around. The pearl is the interaction and their reaction and the response.
Right. Well, and you know that the best thing you can watch on stage as an audience member is the person on stage reacting.
Yeah,
right? That person loses their mind up there,
and then your genuine reaction to their unexpected reaction, like the back and forth that loops upwards. That's
exactly this is the problem with these virtual magic shows that are going on. And I see people saying, "Oh, people are typing applause and laughter," so you know they're laughing and applauding. I'm like, "Yeah, okay, that's great, mom. That's not really what this experience should be." You're right. You need that. So, I mean, for me to do. Especially like the ships now, they want 245s and then maybe more, 90 plus minutes, 100 minutes, 110 minutes of material with no audience volunteers. I mean,
it's one thing to do that with 45 minutes, but yet to have an hour 10 of not interacting with anybody is a whole different challenge.
But again, it'll go away. It'll revert to the mean, I think, and we'll be back to, I mean, you know.
Yeah. And even if it does
make sure your mask and your hand sanitizer to come up on stage.
You know? Yeah. And look, even if that is the norm, then some, you know, it will, as it is, having two different 45-minute shows is a thing that a very tiny minority of magicians can actually do. Already that is a very narrow pre-selector. Right. And the pre-selector might just get narrower. It's people who have two 45s of non-interactive, non-touchy material. And it will still
feel like the jump down from that is huge. And not even just magicians, but all variety acts. I mean, jugglers use people, hypnotists, I mean, which are popular on ships, they're going, I mean, all it is getting people up on stage to interact, right?
Yeah,
You know, unless you're a band, there's just hard to really do that, you know? So, but back to your question about the web series.
Tell us about your web series, Matt.
Because it's still available to watch online. I did a web series called
Disillusion. Where can we watch it?
Where can you watch it? You can go to disillusionshow.com, which will forward you to my website and the page where it's all I'll host it. MattMarcy.com. You can find it on or on YouTube. It's, you know, I did a theater show, maybe 12 years ago, called Disillusion, which was a one-man show that involved some magic and some multimedia and audience interaction. And actually, Teller came to see the show. What a
coincidence. Oh, see, that's how this all is all connected.
It all comes full circle. And I did this show for a while in LA, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a really interesting and unique show, and I'm really proud of it and a lot of the pieces in it. But, you know, the small theater in LA is a thankless and useless thing to do in a long-term sense. So when it was done, I thought, well, I did two runs of it, and I was like, oh, that's great. And I don't want to keep killing myself to produce, you know, small theater like this, even though it did okay while it was up. But I liked a lot of the things that came out of the show, the premises and the concepts and the character. So I decided to turn it into a scripted film project, which first was going to be like a pilot. And then I was like, let me just do a web series. So I turned it into a web series, 6 webisodes, about 6 minutes each, give or take. And we shot it. We kickstarted it and shot it 4 years ago now, maybe. And put it together and won a Best Comedy Award at the Hollywood Series, which is a big online festival here in LA. And it was a lot of fun and something totally different for me. And it was my first venture, so I'm sure if I did it again, I could do it better. Maybe I will do more of it at some point. But it was fun. And you can go watch them there about the life of a magician.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
That wasn't a great sales pitch.
Solid.
I don't have a follow-up. That was just like, oh, that's what it is. Great.
Yep. He explained everything. No further questions.
I mean, when you're done with talking, it's the next thing.
Sorry, you dropped out there for a second. You
dropped out.
When you're done with Tiger King, you can use it as your next.
Oh, that's true. It's a good follow-up.
Yeah, exactly. Just as dysfunctional.
Did anything come out of it from your point of view? Did you do it for just its own sake? Do you feel it's led to anything? Do you care about that?
I did do it for its own sake, which is probably a huge mistake. If I had been smart, I would have gone into it with a plan for like distribution or selling it or marketing it or doing anything at all with it. And instead, I just did it because I wanted to do it. And it was a lot of fun. But the funny thing is, you know, it's still up there and I still get... It's on YouTube. I get notifications when people watch it still.
Yeah.
And every week still now, 5 years, 4 or 5 years later, I still get a handful of notifications. Hey, 3 more people watch this web series. And it's just kind of funny that it's sitting out there just living in the ether. And people will still go watch it. And if I do it again, if I do more of this series or something else, I'll probably try to have more of a plan of how to leverage it or use it. But I just kind of wanted to do it, to try it, you know?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, again, there's something about just putting it all out there and going, hey, I have this idea and let's just, I feel like that's what the Hollywood Fringe was for us, for Simon and I's like solo shows that we've done. It's just like, who knows what the heck's going to come out of this, but you know, this is an idea and there's something to that, just going and doing it.
Yeah. You never know what's going to come out of anything. And you know, I also don't think anyone knows what's good until it's done. You know, you have an idea and nobody knows what's going to work or what's going to really gel or going to be good. You know, they make movies all the time and they spend millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. And they get all the best people and a lot of them suck. And nobody starts that process thinking I'm going to spend $100 million to make a bad movie. They think it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And then it's not, even with the money and the best people, because you just don't know. Nobody knows anything until it's over. You kind of look at it and say, oh, well, this worked, that did.
Well, if you've worked in any sort of TV production in any capacity, you have A, immediate respect for movies that are good, and B, I'm more baffled at movies that are good because there's so many things that can go wrong in that process, whether it's the editor, was the story, was the actors. So there is so many moving parts. So especially doing a web series like that, it's a lot to juggle at the same time.
It is. And you get one shot at doing it kind of. It's not like a magic trick you put on stage and you can do it 1,000 times over the years until you kind of perfect it and hone it and, you know, rewrite the joke and the audience laughs, didn't laugh. You don't have immediate reaction from an audience to tell you, fix this, don't fix this kind of a thing.
That's the weird crutch, I think, about being a actual live performer is you get so used to that immediate gratification or immediate judgment or immediate whatever that you're able to tweak things. But it's a different thing when you have to wait for a very long time for the product to come out and be finished.
Right. And at that point you can't change it anyway.
Yeah. Then you're stuck.
You're not like, oh, they didn't love that joke. Let's rewrite that joke and refilm the movie. Like it is what it is. You're stuck. So, you know,
that's, yeah. Yeah. I think that's the thing that I am grateful for being a, you know, stage performer first, then, you know, whatever the hell I'm transitioning into now, editing, video, podcast host, whatnot. It's amazing. I still like, I don't know. Comedians always talk about they can spot other comedians across the room. Just that you look at it. It's kind of like, you know, Simon always says, we look at each other, we get it. He gets it, you know, and that's how I feel about live performers too. In this situation, like the people that are adapting to what's going on, it's like, okay, this is my training, and that how you have to decide how you want to use it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that goes back to what we were saying about people who are trying to now figure out how to do virtual shows or to do more live streams or podcasts, kind of just to use their skill set as a performer in the way that functions in the world right now that we live in. And that's fine. I just want, for me personally, I wonder how much I should devote to, you know, figuring out a new way of doing this because the old way is not coming back. You know, do I want to invest in a bunch of equipment and build myself a studio so I can start doing, you know, all this stuff?
Because it was interesting when Taylor Hughes and I do a weekly show every Wednesday called Live from World Shedquarters, and it's just been this fun, goofy, fake talk show. And the thing is, like, we didn't have to try very hard. Every week gets a little bit better because we're using new technology, but like we understand streaming, we understand using a green screen, we understand talking because we both have podcasts. So it's like, it wasn't like a new skill set. It's fascinating to me to see these people pivoting completely, going, oh, I know nothing about technology, I'm gonna do an online magic show now. And that's, I mean, I'm not judging that, I'm just fascinated by that purely.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
well, and you know what, somebody will do an amazing job and come out of this a star in some way. Like every change or crisis, somebody emerges.
That person is Michael Rayner. He was just on the news.
I know, did you see?
Who has been on this podcast?
Well deserved.
Of course,
Somebody will figure out some way to do some kind. I think of like the way, not that it came out of a crisis necessarily, but the way like David Blaine reinvented TV magic.
Sure, yeah. He saw an opening.
Fully reinvented what it was, it could be. And somebody will likely figure out something and have the personality and the drive to do that again here with something like this and come out of this. But most of us probably will end up back where we were with the skill set that we had, doing what we can, you know, and what we're good at when it's all said and done.
Sure.
At least I hope so.
Yeah, well, I mean, no matter what, regardless of what goes away or comes back, one thing's definitely true is that there will be much more demand for and value for streamed entertainment online in the world after this.
I've always said there's not enough streamed entertainment. You know, I wish I had more content to choose from.
You know, you go on Netflix, so there's only 100,000 options. I want 110,000 options.
Between Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and Disney Plus, HBO and Showtime.
As in streamed live.
When are we going to get some magic streamed live? Damn shit.
No, Simon, you've said this on earlier. And I'm someone who's coming across, like, I never understood Twitch. And now I'm all about Twitch, which is
streaming. What is Twitch?
Twitch is mainly a streaming platform for gamers to play live and see their faces and comment in real time. It's basically the YouTube or Facebook Live for gamers, you know, primarily. And I never understood that. And now just seeing people watching our little show and people listening to this podcast, it's like, oh, there's a weird demand for this stuff. And I guess I now fully or understand it a little bit more.
Yeah, and that is happening all over the world with hundreds of millions of people right now are starting to, out of necessity, go, oh, I see what this is. Oh, this is interesting. Okay. And even if I think it's very unlikely that will become a dominant form of entertainment compared to live in-person theater, it will become much more of a thing in the world.
Or the opposite could be true. Also, when this is over, that people are so desperate to get out and see other people in not look at a screen for 5 minutes.
I'm hoping that is the case. Yeah, I hope that the demand for live theater or live entertainment is so great that, you know, the castle and theaters and comedy clubs can stay open, have no issues with that. I mean, that's definitely my biggest worry is, I think, theaters hitting. I feel like they're the businesses that are going to be the biggest struggle, I think, when this slowly starts
to reopen, right? They're going to, anything where people are gathered together.
Tightly compact. acted.
I think about like theme parks too. I mean, when is it, are you going to feel safe going and standing in line at Disneyland with a bunch of random strangers, you know?
I'm guessing they're going to just, I'm thinking they're just going to like do the dots on the ground like Target has, 6 feet apart, and they're going to let in less capacity. I'd be very surprised if they stayed closed longer than they needed to.
Well, I agree they may reopen. The question is, who's going to go? How many people are going to go? And what happens when people do go and they have an outbreak of the virus? If they open, this is kind of goes back to what I was saying about being asked to go do a show before you're ready. Sure. What happens? You know, these cruise ships desperately want to open, but they don't want to be the one that opens and has another outbreak. Because then that's like the kiss of death for them, right? Like, what happens when Disneyland opens and 2 weeks later, you know, 4,000 people went to Disneyland and all are now sick with this virus or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess we'll find out. But Matt, any temporary COVID pro tips you can share for how you're staying sane at home, handling the isolation?
Oh my God, coffee and alcohol is a great one. I'm trying to stay sane by, I have a somewhat of a daily routine. That generally stays the same, where, you know, I get up in the morning, I have breakfast, I play with my daughter a little, we go for a walk to get out of the house. We make lunch, we go in the backyard, play a little bit. She takes a nap. I exercise, I do some work. She gets up, we hang out in the house and maybe watch a TV show or a movie, go out for another walk, come back, have dinner, she goes to bed, and then I have my time. And it's not nothing exciting, but it is just kind of like a regular thing to do to like kind of keep the days going so you don't end up in this complete, you know, void of nothingness where everything is just, you know, going on. I have not been bored yet. I don't feel like a lack of things to do. I have plenty to do around the house. I can work on new ideas for tricks or comedy. I've got these live shows coming up. I'm working on these live stream shows, sorry, coming up that I got to work on. So, I guess other people are bored or don't know how to fill their time, but I have no problem for me. You know, being good at filling your time when you work on a cruise ship.
Yeah, that's the thing is I've realized cruise ship performers are maybe the best. Yeah. Prepared. We've been doing this for years. Oh, you mean I get to sit in my room for a week and do nothing and just work on stuff? Okay, no problem.
Yeah, but the difference is we have all our stuff available. That's one of the things that killed me about cruise ships. I couldn't take all my tools and equipment and raw materials and stuff to mess around with.
Well, that's like when I got good internet the last couple of ships I've been on. It was a game changer. It's like, oh, I can legit get work done now, which is never the case.
I'm cooking more stuff. Getting like reconnecting.
Cooking all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing to stay sane? Are you feeling itchy? Are you feeling antsy?
I was talking with a friend yesterday. I was like, well, I'm already introverted, so this is just a nice excuse for me to have to stay in the house. But it is weird not getting that fulfillment of, I get my human connection from being on stage. Yeah. So now that that's gone, that's been an adjustment. Like the introversion and staying at home stuff is kind of what I always secretly want to do anyway.
But I've been coming to a lot of people that I think that extroverts are the straight white dudes of the emotional spectrum. Like the world was always built for them and they never even realized. And now they're realizing because for the first time, they don't have the extrovert privilege in the world.
Sure. Yeah.
Introverts rise up.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I'm like, I'm fine. This is great. It's fucking terrible. It's awful for the world. I'm very sad. Like, but I emotionally, this is actually honestly quite nice to not have.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to be able to go to the grocery store without, you know, putting on a mask and being terrified and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. I'd love it if lots of people weren't dying and the economy wasn't falling apart and the world was.
Oh, really? Is that a negative for you? That's weird. That's interesting. We're down on that.
Simon, Simon's an interesting character. He cares about people being alive.
People being alive and the economy not crashing. I mean, I fear this is going to go on longer than we suspect also. So
I feel like I was watching our governor on Ellen today, and he's like kind of the only one I'm actually listening to. He's like, okay, mid-May to June, we're going to slowly open a few things, see what we can do, but it's still going to be social distancing. And everybody else is, you know, they're opening the beaches on Florida today. It's like, oh, God. And they'll be closed in 2 weeks after what happens because of that.
Thank you, Florida, for being America's lab rats and testing this out so we can all see what happens when you are flippant about it.
Well, for me, it's like if they're not allowed to travel, okay, we get to see what happens. We get to see if this is actually the truth. But It is.
Well, there's not much travel going on, at least right now.
I hope not. I hope people don't travel. I mean, if they're open, then people might not know. But it is. It's fascinating. We are seeing case by state by state studies of how this is actually going to affect people.
Well, yeah, there's been no national policy, so it's all been state by state. So it's going to continue that way. And I heard, I don't know what this is, I heard there is some new treatment there that looks promising. Not a vaccine, but a treatment for people who actually are positive. So that would also be a game changer. And of course, if we get more testing, if everyone get tested. I mean, I would love to be able to get tested and have my parents get tested. Yeah. If we're all negative, that we could go see them, you know, and that kind of thing.
I heard that. I don't know if this is true. I didn't read it. I just heard it through the grapevine that China was giving like people QR codes. If you're clear, you scan your QR code and you're good to go. I don't know if that's actually true, but to me, that actually kind of makes sense. Like we have the ability to do that.
We're going
to
bump up against privacy concerns with that stuff, though. I heard about a technology where you would get scanned in your phone and then it would have a Bluetooth signal. If you walked by somebody who tested positive, your phone would like buzz in your pocket and tell you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way of like contact tracing people, but you know, it raises all these weird privacy concerns.
I don't know. So. They clearly are already bugging and tracking our phones, because that's when they showed, you know, that graph of the states that weren't moving and the states that were moving a few weeks ago. And that was all through people's phones. So and that's just cell signals. But still, to me, that's kind of the same thing.
There's a big difference between tracking phones and tracking phones knowing whose phones they are.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a huge world apart. Right. Like tracking an unknown person is here. Is one,
and then knowing that who that person is and what their medical history is. Everybody walk next to.
It's becoming more Minority Report for sure. I mean, it just has to be the retinas of our eyes next.
Is our Tom Cruise when we need him?
Well, I would say Gavin Newsom is our Tom Cruise. He's a very dashing fella.
Very handsome. Little insane. Does his own stunts.
True. I believe that. Yeah. Well, this has been great, man. Anything else? Anything you want to plug or promote besides?
I'm just glad that we could be the only podcast now to talk about the coronavirus. I feel like this is an under-discussed topic. I'm glad that we decided that this is mostly what we'd focus on: the economy, health. I mean, this isn't talked about enough these days.
You know what? We used to make that joke, but I've seen so many people giving medical advice through the social media that are in no way scientists or doctors that I'm like, okay, maybe some magicians who are good in perception and observing humans. Maybe we have something to say about it. I don't know. It's still kind of bullshit.
I'm not saying that watching my web series will cure COVID-19. I'm not saying that either. So
he's not saying that.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that sending magicians money will cure you. But
you know, the placebo effect is very powerful.
Very strong.
Matt Massey's web series will make you feel great.
Yep. Definitely will make you feel...
like, mostly from what I remember, it will mostly make you feel great that you're not the protagonist in the series. Mm.
I'm not the protagonist?
No, the person watching it will be happy that that's not
exactly there. Exactly. Yeah. You could be a magician like the guy in the series. And so how bad could it be?
Your life's fine.
Exactly. Well, this has been delightful. You both look well.
You damn too. Pleasure, Matt. Keep it up. Love to the family. Hope they're well.
Yeah, hope everybody's doing well.
We'll have to do this live and in person someday.
Heck yeah.
That's one the
day.
Goal.
One day.
Great. A boy can dream.
A boy can dream. Thank you, Matt.
Peace out.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. If you really like the show, you can donate a few bucks a month on our website, twomagiciansonemike.com, or become a monthly subscriber through our Patreon link. Thanks to all the people that support the show and keep it up and running. Be sure to follow us on the interwebs at twomagiciansonemike. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.